You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. And we have spent some time on looking at God's person and seeking to understand and know him better. And we do that by way of his name and his names, plural. And those names are progressively given on the right occasion, the right situation. They all add up to giving us a wonderful sense of God. And thus we have sought to do that. And in the process, we shared in Jeremiah chapter 32 that God's name, God's wonderful name, is wonderful, awesome, indescribable, beyond explanation, beyond our any language. There is no language that could pin down and house God. We have a little word, G-O-D, we have. And we are in the presence of God, the wonderful presence of God. Well, how do we get along with God, the invisible, infinite God? How do we get along with him? Can't see him, smell him, taste, touch. God, you are distinctly different. And that is the word holy, H-O-L-Y. God is holy. He is completely different. Unholy, like us, holy God. So now, having said that and looking at that word, and like Sarah would say about our God that he was extraordinary, and Samson's father and mother would say he's what is his name? And God said, it is secret. It is wonderful. And so here, just to remind us, so we can have a starting point, Jeremiah chapter 32, remembering that the Babylonian captivity, Nebuchadnezzar is taking the wall down, the city down, the temple down, and Jeremiah is not going to be taken captive. They let him loose. But Jeremiah is told to buy a piece of property that he knows the Babylonians are going to take. So it wouldn't make any difference what kind of title deed you have for the property, because the property is no longer in the hands of the Jewish community or Israel. It's in the hands of the Babylonians. And he is to buy it with the understanding that it is going to come back to him. And so there's going to be a time when the property will be able to be returned. Now, chapter 32, the prayer, remember, is our word. I'll read verse 17. Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth, how? By thy great power. And stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee. And the word hard, wonderful, extraordinary, to divide, to separate, to make it stand out, to come out, to look at, take something apart and bring it out so you could see it, to single it out, to magnify, to see the magnificence of something. And thus the word wonder, astonishment, astonishing deeds. Nothing is too hard, nothing is too astonishing. And that's what Jeremiah said. And remember, in our study, we share together that God is the great I Am. That's his name, I Am. And he is, period, everything, forever, all at once. And since he is everything all at once, forever. Then he can become, and he becomes, I am that I am. I am being who I am, and I become all that is needed, because I am that. I am all that I am, and I become what I am as needed. I show it. I show it. It's all in here, God, and you show it, God, about yourself. Now, that's the word, and we looked at that. And now Jeremiah says, there's nothing, God, that you can't become, that you can't do. There's nothing extraordinary. There's nothing that we can say it's extraordinary, because you can do everything that's extraordinary, everything that is wondrous. Thus, remember, God answers the prayer. Verse 27. And in verse 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And then he puts it as a question. Is there anything too hard? There's the same language. Anything too hard for me? Is there anything that I can't do? Is there anything that is beyond my ability to be extraordinary? I can become and produce anything, anyhow. In fact, one day I'm going to take all the stars and the galaxies and the billions of them and take them all, and in a moment I'm going to remove them. And then in another moment, I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Just like that. I can do it. No effort. There's nothing too hard for you, God. Now, I want to have that in mind, because that's God. God, I want to be able to access you. I want to be able to enjoy being in your presence. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven for it. In fact, you told me not to wait. I am supposed to exercise and experience and enjoy your person now. And that's true for all of us. Now. Not next week, not next year. Now. Now. Over, if you would, please, to Psalm 68. And we'll just take the name of God, which we did in two ways. Psalm 68, and picking up, if I can, over in verse 4, going directly to verse 4, with after the name of God, and it stands out here as in no other. Sing unto God, sing 68 and 4. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, nature, being, all that he is. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens. By his name, Jah. That's the smallest way to take the word Jehovah or Yahweh and shrink it down to one syllable. Jah or Yah, Y or J, either way. And you shrink it down. We're talking about the eternal existing one, the eternal person, no beginning and no end, Jah. And to get the full word, over if you would, to Psalm 83. Psalm 83. And picking up in verse 18, 83 and 18. Again, going directly to get the point at this point. That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, that's the word, you just take the rest, the full, expand the word out, Jah, to that, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. You are the eternal one. and that the whole creation is to know your name. You are the Eternal One. You are the I Am, period. The one who always is and becomes all that's needed to produce whatever is needed. Now, having said that, God's wonderful person. He's wonderful in his person. He's wonderful in his work. Wonderful in his counsel. His wisdom, his ways are higher than the heavens. Wonderful in his provision. Wondrous. Has no limits. In any way, shape, or form. Can you keep a Moses alive for 40 days and nights in the mountain with no water, no food? Uh-huh. Nothing to it. Nothing to it. I can do it all. That's why I don't want you to get hung up about physical things. Your life is hid with Christ where? In God. Understand your life. It's me. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the life. Martha, Mary, what are you doing? I'm trying to stand. I'm standing in front of you. And here you are worried about Lazarus. Dummy. What's wrong with you? See? Ah. Now, having said that, over if you would please, now to put together a couple of things, because we don't want to louse up the name. We want to be able to use that name wisely and consistently to handle it well. And Israel were to be custodians of that name Jehovah. That was the name. They were to honor him, and they didn't do well. They did not heed what he said. Over to Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, and if you'd pick up in thought, remember the third commandment and verse 7, Exodus 27, the third commandment of the ten. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So now, looking at the statement, thou shalt not take, to lift up the voice, to utter aloud, to raise it up, to take it out, to send it forth. Thou shalt not take the name, all that the name stands for, all that my name is, my nature, my name, my essence, my being. Thou shalt not take my wonderful person in vain. Don't take it in vain. In the direction of vanity. Well, where is we going to go? How do we take it in vain? In vain. Well, vain has to do with what? Being insecure, unwavering, not locked in, up and down, all over the place. And thus it's translated elsewhere, false, to lie, falsehood, nothingness, worthlessness, emptiness, vain. You shall not take my name in vain. Do not reference my name. Do not bring my name into that which is unreal. Unreal. Don't bring my name into that which is false. Don't cause my name to be a lie about who I am. So when you take my name, speak my name, honor my name, when you do that, and my attributes, love, joy, hate, holiness, righteousness, don't allow my name and all that it represents, don't allow my name to be seen as a lie, a falsehood, something that isn't true. Don't take my name in vain. Don't move and say my name in a way that isn't true about me at all. Don't do that. I will not hold him guiltless that does that. No. No, you have to honor my name, very much so, in the light of that. So in the light of, again, my titles, my attributes, my word, my works, everything that I make, everything that I make myself known, don't let it be in vain, taken in an unreal, to make it come out it isn't true about. What was said or thought about isn't true about God. And that can be done very easily. Now, having said that, over to Malachi, chapter 3, in last Old Testament book. Malachi, chapter 3. So we don't want to take the name of the Lord in vain. And that was there. They would not do that. To say something about God isn't true about God. Oh, God, I think God is like this, but God isn't like that at all. True. Don't take my name in, make it empty, empty saying. We use the word term God and God this and God that. And don't do that. It isn't going to go. What did it say about me? Nothing. Don't take it in vain. Malachi chapter 3, looking at our word, how did Israel, what did Israel do with their wonderful, in their wonderful relationship to God? In chapter 3, Malachi, picking up please in verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Verse 14, you have said, they want to know what they did. What did we do that was wrong? Verse 14, ye have said, it is vain, there's your word, 14, 3 and 14, it is vain to serve God. It's emptiness, worthlessness, nothingness. What profit is there to serve you, God? The world doesn't serve you, and look at how well they do. It isn't, we don't need to serve you in vain, in vain, in vain. Verse 14, in vain to serve God. It's an act of futility, emptiness, to serve God. Verse 14, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances? What did it pay off for us? You say, keep my commandments and do everything. And what did it gain us? We didn't get anything. We tried to do it in and of and by ourselves. We had no sense of the outworking relationship, our relationship to truth. We didn't have that. But we did what we did. And verse 14. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? What good is it to be down in the dumps? It didn't pay off. I mean. And, verse 15, and now we call proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. In other words, the bad guys are put on a pedestal. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. In other words, you can test God, challenge God, deny God, do anything you want, and God isn't going to do anything. It's like you have in chapter 2, you know, verse 17, picking up at the end, I'll be the middle, wherein you say, everyone that doeth evil, 2 and 17, everyone that doeth evil is good in the eyes of the Lord, sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or... where is the God of judgment? There isn't any judgment. Look at what happens. I don't see any judgment. Where is God doing anything? Accidents, trouble. But I don't see that. No. Now, having said, where is the God in vain? Well, over if you would to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And in Psalm 127, you would recall a word, vain, and in verse 1, except the Lord build the house, here's Solomon's temple and all of those things, except the Lord build the house, they labor in what? In vain, for nothing, emptiness, worthlessness, to no value, no gain. Don't take my name in vain where it doesn't mean anything. There's no value to it. You just said something that doesn't mean anything. Has no oomph to it, no weight. So verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So God, if you aren't in the building of it, like in Cain in Genesis 4, if you aren't in the building of it, it isn't going to go anywhere. It ends up like the Tower of Babel. And God, if you aren't going to keep us, then we are in trouble. The watchmen are going to watch in vain. God, you have to, they're going to watch for nothing. With all of their watching and all of their electronics and all of their things, and they're going to watch and see everything from emails to everything everywhere, Facebook and all, everyone's seeing everything and recording it, those that are recording it that want to have the storage records of it all. And they have it all. But all of that is vain. When it comes to God, you can't replace God. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. You can't replace him. Verse 2. It is vain. There's your third word, third time. It is vain to you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, and so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now you can do all you want, and try to make it, and keep yourself. But when you're all done, with all the anxiety, trying to feed, like Matthew chapter 6, clothe yourself, feed yourself to be successful, to survive. You can do all of that, but when you're all done, you don't add 1 minute to your life. I do. You have to trust me. I'm your life. And so you don't have to worry about that, but you're doing it. You don't need to. It is vain to you to rise up early and stay up late and try to make everything work. Well, you can do it all, but if you're trying to trust yourself, then you're going to get all worn out doing it, and ultimately it's going to fail and fall. So now, having said that, all don't take the name of the Lord in vain. In a thoughtless, irreverent use of the word, of God's name, his attributes, his titles, don't take the name of God, the holy name of God, in vain. Don't take it. Don't make God to be connected to that which is false, that which is a lie, that which is unreal, that which is untrue. Don't do that. Don't do that. And the opposite of taking God's name in vain is what? To sanctify. Sanctify the Lord God. Psalm 29. And in Psalm 29, the opposite of taking it in vain is to set God apart as holy, distinctly, wonderfully different, and to honor him as such. And you have it, Psalm 29, David's going to give it to us in one verse. Verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Honor God. Honor his word. Honor his name. Respect him. Reverence him. He's not your buddy. He's not, my buddy. No, he's not your buddy. He's your God. He's your God. That doesn't mean he isn't your friend. He is your friend. But he's not your buddy in a buddy sense. He's not like, remember he said, thou shalt make sure your mother and father, brother, sister, and husband and wife, make sure no one is honored, loved more than me. I'm different than all of them. So you put me above all of the humans, including yourself. Sanctify me. I'm different than everyone, including yourself. So you're going to honor God, sanctify, give holiness, the holiness that belongs unto his name, the glory that belongs unto his name. Now, having said that, little different window to see it, over Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. And Israel, as you know, did not do well. And in chapter 4, Jeremiah, picking up, please, in verse 1, 4 and 1. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. In other words, I want you to get your act right, clean up your act, and look to me. Verse 2. Thou shalt swear to take an oath, to take an oath, to make a promise or a statement true, to back it up with to confirm it, is the word. Thou shalt swear in verse 2. It's called, you shall be made to swear. The Lord liveth, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. God is to be honored, his name. All nation, all the whole world, all creation is to honor him. And the Lord lives, he's true, in justice, judgment, righteousness, all of those wonderful attributes about God. Don't diminish them. Don't make light of them. Don't be frivolous with them. Don't do that. Don't take it in vain. All that I am is holy. Sanctify me, what I do. Honor me. And thus, having said that, over to chapter 5. How did Israel do? Well, chapter 5, they were to honor God. Now, if they just did, that's what God's looking for. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain and honor him. So in chapter 5, and picking up in verse 2. I need to read verse 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof. In other words, go to the place there's the most people. Try to find somebody. If you can, find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, you're going to speak truth, judgment, righteousness. God lives. Don't take it in vain. See if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh truth, and I will pardon it. Pardon it. They talk about truth, but they don't honor it. Verse 2. Though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear, they make an oath, they promise falsely. They're saying something about God that they do not believe is true. They don't believe it's true. Lots of people do that. They don't mean to do it. They just say it glibly and didn't have to think about it. So Israel, here you have a wonderful opportunity. And to stay in reality and don't take the name of the Lord in vain. But hey, you're saying things about God that you don't believe are true at all. You don't believe it true. Because you're going to say, remember, you just read in Malachi 2:17, where is the God of judgment? That's just a little, here's Jeremiah, and Malachi's just a little further down the road. What happened to the judgment? Whoops! God is first you say judgment that you really don't believe ever is about God, and then you deny there is a judgment. A leads to B. It just keeps getting further and further away from the truth. Now, having said that, and you'll notice it says to swear falsely, to lie. to make something false. And thus, we want to add another word using our word swearing falsely and pick up one other word if we can, over if you would, to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus in chapter 19. So as believers, we want to make sure we don't say it in vain. It's easily to do. People do. Chapter 19 of Leviticus. And you have the words we just read to swear falsely. Now we're going to add another word. Leviticus 19 and verse 12. Ye shall not swear by my name falsely. Don't make it a lie about me that isn't true at all. That's why you read in John 2 and 23, 24, 25, would not give himself to anybody's belief. Then didn't do it. No, you couldn't. Remember he said, I must go to Jerusalem. We read in Matthew 16, I must go to Jerusalem, but don't tell anybody. Just shut up. Because you don't have anything to say yet. You don't have any authority. You have to have authority. You have to have reality. Otherwise, it can't be supported. And that's why probably a true communication about the gospel, the good news, is very rare, because you'd have to be exercising the good news for it to pop out. You see, the inflow must outflow or else no flow. And if it ain't going to pop out. And so you never hear it popping out. You never hear people doing it. They don't do it. It isn't part of their life, you see. It's just the day in which we live. So now, chapter 19, verse 12. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. And remember now, don't profane. Don't intensely make it intense to roll up your sleeves and really get into it. Don't, it means to bore through. It means to take the wall, if I could, and put a hole in the wall. So the hole in the wall would go right straight through the wall and you would see the daylight come right through. To perforate something, to put through and make things come together, because you put a hole. The outside meets the inside. A hole. To perforate. Profane. To make common. To make something common. There's no difference between the inside and the outside, because you just put a hole and they both connect. They connect together. And thus, in opening, to make an opening, to make it accessible, to make it profane, to pollute it, to make it loose, use its singularness, to abandon, and make it common, not make it special, make it to violate, to pollute, to make it uncommon. Now, having said that, don't do that. Don't take my name in vain. Don't take it falsely. And don't pollute my name. Don't do that. Over, if you would, Leviticus chapter 22. In Leviticus chapter 22, picking up, so you give a sense of it, verse 22. Neither shall ye profane, there's your word, intensely, eagerly. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed, set apart, holy, made holy, among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you, make you holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy, that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. Don't profane, pollute my name. Don't do that. And thus to say it very easily for all of Israel. Over to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. And in Isaiah 48, picking up, if I may, in verse 9. For my name's sake, 48 and 9, Isaiah 48, verse 9. For my name's sake, on account of my name, because of my name, will I delay mine anger? And for my praise, will I refrain to hold back for thee, that I cut thee not off. In other words, I'm not going to clobber you, I'm going to be back off a bit. Verse 10, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Why? For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, on account of who I am, my name. I do it, for my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? There's your word, profane. And I will not give my glory unto another. I will not do it. I will not allow my name to be profane. It won't be. Now, having said that, God said, don't make my name common. Israel, is that what they did? Yes. They did it without taking time to read it. They did it in Egypt. Ezekiel gives the account of what happened in Egypt before they got out. And before they got out, they had profaned his name among the Egyptians. And God took them out. And if you read, God took them out in his grace. They didn't deserve to go out. That's how they exited. God took it. Remember, and we've read elsewhere, you know. They didn't want to go out of Egypt. They didn't want to leave Egypt. They had a nice slave hut and a slave diet and a slave entertainment. They had everything. They didn't want to get out. They had to go out. And God, by the 10 plagues, made them have to go. Now, so here if you would. Here is Israel. They didn't do well. And so all the way into tomorrow, over to Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel, and in 36. And as you think of the tribulation and all of that, picking up in thought, verse 19. And I scattered them among the heathen, the nations. And they were dispersed through the countries, according to their way and according to their doings. I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, the nations, whither they went, they profaned, they polluted, they made common, they made light of my holy name. And that's why they're in captivity anyway. Because they forgot to honor God's wonderful name. They dishonored it. They took it in vain. All went down the tubes. They had no God. Thus, in this practical sense, in verse 20, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. God couldn't keep them, care for them. These are the Jews. And the Jewish God, Jehovah Jah, what could he do? What could he do? The God who said, there's nothing too hard for me, you see. Ah, you can't do that. You made the world look like your God shrink. Don't want to do that. In your own heart, in your problem, in your coming and going, work, home, school, play, hard things, easy things. You don't want to make God shrink. You don't have to moan and groan wrongly and make God look like you have no God. No hope, no comfort. The great physician is there. no matter who else is or isn't. And you're going to trust him. And when you don't trust him, and you say, well, I'm a believer, you're writing a little hospital card, I'm a believer, see? And then they look at the believer, and believe, and they look at you, and what's the difference between you and the person in the next bed? No difference. God help us. I don't want to profane your name. I don't want to insult God. No, sir, I'd rather die. Die. Die quick before I can do it. Now, so here, you got the idea? Verse 21. But I had pity. I had pity for my holy name. God, what are you going to honor? I'm going to honor my name. Well, look at all the things going on. I'm going to honor my name. My name's at stake. My name's at stake in this whole business. We aren't the creator. We're just creatures. Who's going to get it in the neck? God is. He's the only God. There is no other. There's no one else to blame. When you're all done, there's only God. When you're all done with your saviors and the solutions, there's only one savior. Who's going to get the blame? Who's going to get name taken down? Not Zeus, not Buddha, not Confucius, not Mohammed, none of them. They aren't going to do it. No, only God. God, you shrink God down. And we got God in the churches and all believers. We're living in a day when we don't have a God for all practical purposes. We just don't have a God. Now, and so, and if I can, verse 21. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned, made polluted, among the heathen, the nations, whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake. The reason I'm going to do what I'm going to do isn't because of you, it's because of who I am. It's my name on the line, not yours, my name. My fame. Now, for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned and made common among the heathen, the nations, whither you went, and I will sanctify my great name, set it apart, which was profaned and made common among the nations, heathen, which ye have profaned, there's your word again, made common, in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you, Israel. And that's what the millennium's all about, isn't it? God sanctifies himself. And 10 Jews, as we read in 6 o'clock, 10 Gentiles will reach out to touch the garment of one Jew going to worship, to be blessed, to be blessed. I will be sanctified. The nations of the world are going to pay attention because you are going to honor me and not profane my name. You can have your synagogues and all of that, but if you do not put me in the right place, you might as well have the temple down on the ground. Now, having said that, and there's more, you got the idea, don't you? It's a marvelous thing. God honoring, God's intent on this business. You'd never know it, but hey, in our world. Over to Acts chapter 14. No, Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And in Acts chapter 15, you have a statement that sums up, what about us, guys, girls? What about us? In the light of your name. Acts 15, you know, verse 14, Simon Peter said, Simon, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. God, what are you doing? I'm taking a whosoever that would believe to visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for what? His name. So what are you doing with us? I'm getting a whosoever's to believe and bring them together that they will honor my name. My name. And you know at my name, our Lord Jesus Christ, at my name, they're going to the whole world, Isaiah also. God is going to take the whole world and all of forever. And everyone is going to bow the knee at the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to him. They're going to bow to him. Lord of lords and King of kings. And thus, God, here we are, we're to be a people for your name. And so that we're able to enjoy and exercise you, God, saying it personal, God, you exercise to us, in us, your wonderful name and nature. God, say it another way. God, I want you to be in the believing heart, in my heart, in your heart. I want you to be in my heart, God. That's what you do. Your name. I want you to be God. Be who you are. And, God, honor your wonderful reputation. And so, when all things could go kooky and bad, and God, in the midst when we goof and fail and falter, God, be merciful to us and rescue us. Don't bring upon us our just deserts. Don't do that. No. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And honor your name. And when you honor your name, you honor your mercy and you honor your grace. Do you not? God, honor your name, your reputation. Do it all for your name's sake. We claim your name. We look to your name. We honor your name. God, your character, your conduct. Always, always matches, never mismatched. God, you always are who you are, and you're never anything other than you are. You can never be anything but who you are. Never. Thus, over in closing, if you would. All to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. And you'll note, God, honor your wonderful name. We're to be for your name. That's what we're to be, an assembled body of believers. We're to be for his name. In John chapter 14, picking up, if I may, verse 13, you know, in the light of prayer, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do it. In my name. You want my name to be honored. In other words, you want me to be who I am and do what I do. You want me to become all that I am in the situation. You want me to use my wisdom, my knowledge, my power. You want me to put it together. Is that what you want? I do. I want you to honor your name. That's all. I don't care how you do it, whether we burn in the fire like the three friends of Daniel, or we don't. Do whatever you want, God. Just honor your name. Oh, my, how powerful that is. God loves that. And thus, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why are you going to do it? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'm going to do it. You ask it in my name, and I'm going to do it. That's what I'm going to do. And by the way, when I do it, I want you to know there's a unique relationship you're exercising. And in verse 20, at that day, in the day of Pentecost, and thereafter, At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. You're going to have a unique relationship to me in my name, for my name's sake. That's what you're going to do. And John chapter 15, and if you would, and in John 15, verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and foreordained and ordained you, set you apart, ordained you that, what's the purpose, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. By the way, I and my Father are one. We're the same. I want you to ask in my name. A baptism in the name of the singular, name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The name. God, we want to honor your name. I don't want to profane it. I don't want to take it in vain. I'd rather be quiet so I don't misuse it. And yet I want to honor you, God. I want to honor your wonderful name. Your wonderful presence. How am I going to honor your presence, God? By honoring your name. Wanting you to honor your name. To be who you are. How could I dare even utter such a statement? Because that's why. My son, it cost me my son for me to be able to have you look to me and expect me to be your God. And it cost me my son for that to happen. For me, God, to be my God, your Father, our Father. Wow. I and my Father are one. I want you to do it for my name. The family name is at stake. The family name, you know. And when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, God did a wonderful thing for you. He locked you in to his name, you know. Jeanette used to be some Czechoslovakian name, Verzal or something. She used to have a name like that. I mean, who ever heard of a Verzal? But she's a Parsons. We're children of God. Sons of God. Sons. In the Son. It's your name. Family's name's at stake. That's why we're going to trust him. So when we're out there, we aren't going to make God look like a jerk. Or look like there is no God. On the contrary, we're going to make them have to consider our God. As we trust him with all of our heart. Huh? What do you think? Huh. It's wonderful, you know. Well, this is better than 8 hours sleep. Do you understand that? We'll pray. Oh, two or three might. Oh, you might have a prayer request.